Hello, friends. This is the second hour of Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting live from the studios of KKNW on 1150 AM here in Bellevue, Washington, just outside beautiful Seattle, Washington, here in the United States and North America. I've decided to skip my announcements for this first part of the second hour and go straight back to our interview, continue with our interview for another 5 minutes or so before I go on to my next guest. Billy Woodward, who's the former base commander of Area 51. She's channeling his father, Zora, from the Hollow Earth. And I want to bring him back on now and continue our interview for a few minutes. Zora, are you there?
I am there.
Okay.
Wonderful. And also understand that that would not be termed as Woodward. It would be termed as Woodard.
Woodard. I'm sorry. Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Anyway. I want to bring to your understanding about the planet Mars.
Yes.
The planet Mars, as you know, is hollow. And the population living within Mars, on all your planets, there's only one planet where life abides on the outside, and that is Earth.
Hmm. Interesting.
The others are all inside the planets.
Mm-hmm.
The outside is reserved for like a park or for exploration such as this.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
mm-hmm.
Mars, unbeknownst to you, mm-hmm. because they have never showed it to you,
mm-hmm.
but Mars has a blue sky.
Really? Fascinating.
Mars has an atmosphere.
Hmm.
Mars has lakes.
Oh, wow.
Mars has rivers.
Wow.
Mars does have a desert.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what you are all seeing when they have taken pictures of Mars.
Wow.
However, Mars has a blue sky.
Mm-hmm.
It has rain.
Wow.
It has all the, what you would term, seasons as you have on Earth.
Wow, amazing.
Understand, when people go to and try to tell you that Mars is a planet without atmosphere, without air,
mm-hmm.
it is a lie.
Hmm.
All planets have an atmosphere.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
All planets do,
mm-hmm.
including the sun.
Well, wow.
Now, and the reason that they don't want you to know that is mm-hmm. because they don't want the general public to understand what is happening on Mars.
Oh, interesting.
Or in Mars.
Uh-huh. Wow. Mm-hmm.
And one of your speakers that you're going to have there
mm-hmm.
at your symposium,
Galactic
whatever it is going to be,
Galactic Wisdom Conference
mm-hmm.
in Olympia.
In Seattle?
Olympia, Washington.
Yes. One of your speakers is going to be a being who does what is termed claim he has lived on Mars.
Oh, that's right. Randy Kramer. You know, he abruptly canceled on me last week.
I think I know why.
Oh, really?
Yes. Because somehow he got word that I was going to be there and I would have exposed him.
Really? Interesting.
Because he would not have told you that Mars has an atmosphere. He would have told you that Mars, they live in bubbles.
Uh-huh.
Or they live in man-made structures on the surface. And they have to live in it because there's no air.
Fascinating.
See, that is a lie.
Wow.
So, naturally, he realized that if he did show, he would be exposed. Because I would have said to him, now that you have said what you said, now tell them the truth, or I will.
Oh, you're amazing. Sir, I am so happy to have you on my show today. Please continue.
Indeed.
Please continue.
Now, also, understand, we're getting back to what is termed visiting Telos.
Right.
Mm-hmm. My beloved Zuraya and Quasar, which would be Dilly and Jane, and a couple others, and went to gain entrance into Telos.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, as I have said to you, I said to them, you must be in one accord, in full agreement, and before you would be allowed to enter.
Okay.
They had one in their party that had doubt, that was what is termed not sure.
Uh-huh.
It prevented them all from going.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
That is why I'm telling you.
Thank you.
You must be of one accord, one mind, and no thoughts of malice of any sort or exploitation. Or you must be, what I'm saying, you must be fully in agreement and of one accord.
Okay.
Or else you will not gain entrance.
I see. Okay. Okay.
So you may go there.
Okay.
I am not saying you should not.
Right.
But okay. I am saying you must be fully prepared before you attempt to do so.
All right. Thank you. Good advice. Thank you so much.
And also, when it comes to entrance into Hollow Earth,
mm-hmm.
if you were to go due north, as it is reckoned,
mm-hmm.
and to the northern Arctic region,
mm-hmm.
continue going due north, you will come up to a ice wall,
mm-hmm.
put your hand upon it, it will open for you.
Really? Wow. Okay.
But also understand, if you were to go by air, there would be a vessel that would be there to greet you.
Hmm.
But if anyone on the aircraft were not in one accord, it could jeopardize the entire attempt.
Fascinating. All right. All right.
Because in Hollow Earth, all is in harmony. All is in peace. All is in joy.
Hmm. Right.
And that is why that people that attempt to go there, unless they're invited, of course, mm-hmm. like Admiral Byrd was,
mm-hmm.
they would have difficulty because my ship is stationed in the opening of the going into Hollow Earth on the North Polar region.
Wow.
And I would meet the aircraft, and of course I would freeze the aircraft in midair, and I would step on board, materialize on board,
mm-hmm.
and I would scan them and know which ones are ready and which ones are not.
Wow.
At that point, I would remove the ones that were of one accord
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
into my ship.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The others would have to return back to their home.
I see. Fascinating.
Because they will not be allowed if they are not of one accord.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the ones that were of one accord, they would be welcomed into Hollow Earth.
Oh, fascinating. All right. Wonderful. Wonderful.
So, as I told Brooks Agnew,
mm-hmm.
he had the desire to go in, mm-hmm. Up to the North Polar region on mm-hmm. a Hollow Earth journey.
Mm-hmm.
I told him the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure you meet with all of your people
okay.
prior to going.
Okay.
And make sure that all of you are of one accord and all in a full agreement. Because understand, when you go into Hollow Earth, it is going to be a different reality.
I'm sure. Okay.
A completely different reality.
Okay. Okay.
As the same with Telos.
Mm-hmm.
Telos is the city beneath Mount Shasta.
Right.
It also has a lesser city beneath Mount Lassen as well.
Okay.
That is another mountain that you could gain entrance into.
I see.
Also.
Okay.
That, as you know, that is an active volcano.
Right.
But
right.
There is passageways that are protected from the lava flow.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That you could enter into to go into the lesser city of Telos,
mm-hmm.
which is an extension of Telos.
I see. Okay, interesting.
And from one, if you do gain entrance into Telos, then you would have access mm-hmm. to what is termed as getting on a shuttle, underground shuttle,
mm-hmm.
and visiting any Agartan city within your Earth's crust.
Interesting.
Or
wow.
you could take a journey in down to Hollow Earth.
How much?
But.
Mm-hmm.
How much what?
Sir, how much time should I allow? A day, several days, or is time different in Telos? Is it a different standard?
There is no time.
There is no time. No.
Time is an illusion.
Interesting.
Just as death is a no thing.
Okay.
You understand death as the passing of a person.
Right.
Death is what is termed as ascension.
I see.
It is not death. It is an ascension to a higher plane of existence.
Right, right.
So there is no such thing as death on your planet.
Right, right.
When you have what is termed as people decide to go elsewhere and take their body with them, they ascend.
Right. Interesting. Interesting.
As you have probably heard in some of your past shows, or from your research,
right?
How many people have were in what is termed the hospital,
right?
And they were in critical condition,
right?
The minister was there giving last rites,
right?
The family was there, and suddenly the body began to glow and disappeared.
That's amazing. That's amazing.
That has happened quite often.
Wow.
In hospitals.
Zora, I'm so sorry, my friend. I would love to have you on for a lot longer today, but I have another.
I know you would.
But I'm looking forward, so forward to meeting Billy next month and talking to you next month as well as my conference.
Indeed.
And even though I was disappointed last week when I received an email from Randy Kramer, who was with the Secret Space Program for many years, abruptly canceling without really giving a clear reason. Now I know, and I want to thank you.
And they told him not to.
Really? Interesting.
Of course.
Interesting.
He was suggested not to do so.
Interesting, because you were going to
because
be there.
They did not want that information about Mars put out.
Well, this program is about the truth. I'd much rather have a speaker on who's going to be telling the truth about what's really going on in the world than telling stories. We've had too many stories told by our government about what's going on out there.
Indeed. So, I will also, my last phrase will be what would be termed as your GCR, Global Currency Reset.
Okay, okay.
You term it the RV.
Okay.
The revaluation of global currency is an actual event.
I see. All right.
And it will be occurring quite shortly.
All right. Well, Zora, it's been so fascinating to have you on today. I really must go on to my next guest. Scott.
Indeed, you may.
All right, sir. Well, thank you so much for spending the time. I will welcome you I want to give you a warm welcome to Olympia, Washington next month, where you and Billy, your son, will be at my conference on June 10, 11, and 12 in Olympia, Washington. The conference website is www.galacticwisdomconference.com.
May harmony, peace, joy, laughter, healing, much love be with you and yours, and have yourself a wondrous, glorious, and loving day.
Thank you so much. Sir, on behalf of all my listeners worldwide, I hope you have a beautiful day, too.
We shall.
All right. Thank you so much. With that, I'd like to go on to Joyce Hawks, and I'm so sorry to have kept you waiting all this time, Dr. Hawks. Are you there?
I am here.
Okay. Well, I'm so sorry. I had an unexpected, wonderful thing happen during my last part of my first hour, where I had a gentleman came in from the Hollow Earth, Zora, and he was telling me all about Telos and some very important messages, and I decided to hold him over to this time, and I finally said, well, sir, you're a wonderful speaker, but I really got to get on to Dr. Hawk, so I apologize again for keeping you
waiting. Well, thank you. I was listening. Quite fascinating stuff.
Oh, good. Good, good. Good, good, good. Well, you know, a lot of the healing work that you do, which is also quite fascinating, fits in with what they were saying. I wanted to give you a brief introduction. Dr. Joyce Hawks is a fellow in the American Association for the Advancement of Science with a longstanding career as a research cell biologist and biophysicist. You had an incredible near-death experience, and I took your advice today, and I watched your TED Talks on that. And you're the author of Cell Level Healing, The Bridge from Soul to Cell and Resonance, Nine Practices for Our Harmonious Health and Vitality. You're a certified counselor and been practicing healing facilitator. You've been a practicing healing facilitator for 30 years. And you have such an interesting background. Dr. Hawks, thank you so much for coming on today.
Oh, it's my delight. Thank you.
Well, could you tell me a little bit, could you tell my listeners around the world a little bit about what you, your near-death experience and how that affected your life?
Definitely. You know, at the time, the late 70s, there wasn't much known about near-death experiences. And I'd never heard of them, and I was also very immersed in science and figured science eventually would have the answers for everything. And
right.
I didn't believe in an afterlife and or any of that stuff. And truly, if I'd heard of a near-death experience, I would have gone, yeah, sure.
Sure.
So I was really busy writing papers, doing research, running a lab, have a number of people working for me, going to meetings, traveling the world, lecturing. It was a very fulfilling part of the career of biophysics, of enjoying looking through an electron microscope at the secrets inside of cells magnified 80,000 times. The machine I had could magnify to a billion times. And it was truly like sitting in the mystery, looking at things inside a single cell that there's no way anyone could imagine. So, very satisfying, great time. Anyway, I was home on a weekend. It was Friday night. Decided it wouldn't be a bad idea to vacuum. And so I was cleaning.
Sure.
And a decorative leaded glass window that was on my mantle. Great big thing, about 3 feet long in an oak frame, very heavy. For no apparent reason whatsoever, vaulted off the mantle.
Oh, my
hit
goodness.
Me on the head. I took it in free fall. And as I started just crumbling down, all of a sudden my experience was leaving my body.
Wow.
Seeing it there, crumbled on the floor, but moving, drawn to, inexplicably drawn to, a long dark tunnel with the most exquisite light at the end.
Wow.
And the light drawing me rapidly. I wasn't afraid. It was not an experience.
Wow.
Once again, I'd ever heard of or could have imagined. And just before the end of the tunnel at the place of light, my mother and grandmother, who'd passed years before, were there greeting me. They were younger than when they had died. They were healthy. They could express their care and love for me.
Wonderful.
And I had no belief in such stuff. So it was like, whoa. I could have stayed there in that moment.
Sure.
For a very, very long time. But then all of a sudden, I've passed from them without grief, without any sense of loss, just sweetness.
Wow.
Into this beautiful place of light where everything was, seemed like it was lit from itself.
Wow.
The grass, the flowers, they were all glowing, and the color was indescribable on earth plane, just beautiful.
Wow.
And I was just felt like I was there for a long time. I had no desire to go anyplace, do anything.
Right.
Or ask a question. No one else was there. And it was probably the first experience of my entire life of being totally in the moment.
Wow. Just, beautiful.
And then, boom, all of a sudden, I'm transported into a different place that's very light, very white. I'm in the presence of a being of light.
Wow.
And exquisitely at one. And love. And just emotionally a most incredible feeling.
Wow. Beautiful.
Nothing out of place, nothing wrong. Again, no desire to go anywhere or do anything else. Just whew, right there.
Wow.
I didn't have a discussion about whether to come back or not. I did not have a life review. I had the sense that everything was known, and there was truly no judgment, that it was pure love. And the take-home on that one for me has always been, well, it's sort of silly to try and keep secrets buried in me anyway.
Right, right.
So then, boom, I'm back on the floor in my little crumbled body, and I put my hand up on the head, which was really sore, and there's a big mat of dried blood.
Oh, my goodness.
So in the scalp wounds, bleed profusely, but it takes a while for that stuff to clot. So as I figured it, I was out. Because I don't know exactly the amount of time, no one else was there. At least an hour and a half, maybe longer. And that long a time on a head injury like that, usually you are totally dead. So I kind of wandered around the rest of the weekend. I was fairly new to Seattle. I didn't really have, hadn't set up a doctor or anything. And I went to the lab on Monday, and one of my colleagues saw me walking down the hall and said, "What happened to you? You look terrible." And so he hauled me off to his doctor, who tested me, and I had no toe curl response. And the doc moved me off center. I would start falling down. And then I had a scan, and I had a small hematoma, blood clot on the brain, but nothing that needed surgery, but I had to. Stop. I couldn't run around Green Lake in 20 minutes like I was doing at that time.
Well,
I could not listen to music because music, the sounds of music made my head hurt.
Oh, no.
I really couldn't read. So I had to sit and rest for a number of weeks and put up with myself. It was quite a trip.
Well,
and
my goodness.
I just kind of discounted the whole thing. Went, well, you know, low oxygen to the brain. This was nutty.
Right.
But I couldn't get away from the intensity of what I saw.
Sure.
With the impact of the feelings, the images. And as I was recovering, I was, and this was 30 years ago, 30 plus, more than 30 years ago, I went down to Pioneer Square in Seattle, which is Elliott Bay Bookstore was my favorite store.
Oh, that's a nice bookstore, sure.
Yeah, at that time.
Yeah.
And I was just wandering around, looking at books. All of a sudden, this book just kind of seemed to fall off the shelf. And I picked it up, and it was Ray Moody's first book called Life After Life.
Oh, you're kidding. Wow.
And here was his first book that had recently been published on near-death experiences. So I opened this thing up, and I started reading it.
Wow.
One of the things I had said in the lab for years was, if it's real, it's repeatable, let's do that experiment again, make sure our data is correct.
Right,
and, and here he had case history after case history with the tunnel, with meeting relatives.
Wow, that's amazing.
Not exactly precisely the same exact stuff, but similar enough.
Sure.
Which now there's, what's the latest data, I think, something like 20 million people that have been recorded in the Western world with similar experiences.
I had a near-death experience back in February 1978 when I was hit head-on at 110 miles an hour by a drunk driver.
Oh my God.
And I was driving a Volkswagen Beetle, and I woke up 6 days later out of a coma.
Wow.
And it was pretty amazing. It wasn't my time to go yet. I was left with tinnitus in both ears. But one of the things, I had Zora on my show a couple of months ago, and he said, if you want to get rid of that ringing, to say this little prayer, he said, say 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, receive from the Supreme Being, the Creator, the help that you need to get rid of this tinnitus. And after I did that on the air, it dropped for the first time in, since I had it, I've had it for, I don't know, 37, 38 years, so it dropped substantially.
How exciting.
So I remember that, and then that's why I was asking him about gods and goddesses. And then I thought of your wonderful work about you know, your work on the cellular level that fits in. Everything that he said fits in with what you've said as well in your wonderful research. And before I forget, I wanted to tell you, a week from today, if you have time, I'd love to have you listen on the show, or perhaps you're welcome to, maybe we could co-host the show if you like, but because I'm having Dr. Raymond Moody on my show.
Oh, fun.
Talk about his work,
Life
After Life, Near Death Experiences. And the other thing, too, I wanted to ask you about that you mentioned to me yesterday was that you have visited Telos. Tell us about that. That's incredible.
Well, it was 7 years after the near-death experience when I had a direct call to healing.
Okay.
And this experience on Shasta was just about that time. I was just getting ready to leave the lab, and because my call was, well, turned out to be to be able to be an instrument of healing for people, which I've been for 30-plus years. Wow. But I was down there with three other friends. We climbed up to 9,600 feet in the snow.
Mm-hmm.
We camped out.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was just meditating and stressed out and in a very quiet place. We're way away from any camping areas.
Were you much higher than Panther Meadows? There's a parking lot there as far as you go.
Yeah.
Did you go much higher than that?
Yeah, way up from there.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah, but that was the takeoff place.
Okay, interesting. Okay.
It was on up into another plateau, if you will, another level.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, in my meditation, my experience was that I was drawn down inside the mountain.
Okay.
I was walking around, like on a pathway or something.
Uh-huh.
And there
were
rooms, and the rooms would open up, and I went from room to room.
Wow.
At that point, I was exploring how to work with crystals for healing.
Wow, amazing.
Their unique, wonderful properties and the clear energy they hold.
Uh-huh. Wow.
And each of the rooms I was shown was full of one frequency, one color of crystal, full of it. And then they were teaching me how to utilize those energies in healing.
That is amazing, because Dr. Emoto, before he passed on in 2014, thought that everything was hado, vibration. And at my conference next month in Olympia, the Galactic Wisdom Conference, June 10, 11, 12, I have two people I'm flying out from Tokyo to demonstrate and do healing with these hado machines, vibrational machines.
Oh, it's fascinating. All these little connections. It's really, really fascinating. What a time.
Wow, wow.
Yeah,
cool. Incredible, incredible. So you went to these crystal rooms.
Yeah, and I was blessed, and it was another one of those experiences where there is no time, where you have no idea how long you're there, and you have no desire not to be there or to do anything else but to be totally present, immersed, and taking in.
Wow.
And then, boom, I'm back up in my body, you know, above the earth. And but I'd never heard of Telos. I'd never heard of anything that was underground. Around Mount Shasta. I never heard of any of that stuff.
Wow.
And so for me, my scientist mind was baffled, excited, and convinced, because I knew I hadn't tried to set it up or pushed to set it up. It was that being just at peace, on accord with whatever was the guidance.
Beautiful, beautiful. I visited Mount Telos in the astral plane last August after a UFO conference. I was there, one of the speakers. And it was about 4 or 5 in the morning. I'd woken up, and then I fell back to sleep. And then I was transported. I asked to do it, and they transported me to Telos. A beautiful place. It looked like a village on the side of a mountainous area in Switzerland. And everybody had white robes, and they all communicated telepathically. I don't remember everything about it, but then I got another invitation to go back in the physical form and visit Telos. So I'll be doing that later this summer. But it's such a gift to have you on my show today. I'm so pleased you could come on.
Thank you. It's a delight, and just talking about these topics and remembering and knowing that many other people now are experiencing them, from these experiences, we bring back healing. We bring back gifts. We bring back that which helps our planet at the surface level.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And you'll be going to Montreal, too, to the same conference.
Yes.
Yes, well, I'll be going, too. That'll be...
That's great.
For those of you on the East Coast, please check out their website, which is www.oneness-in-spirit.com or www.iiihs.org. Both Dr. Hawkinson and myself will be going there, along with Dr. Raymond Moody and a bunch of really interesting people. Montreal... it's not that expensive, actually, to fly from Seattle to Montreal. I got a ticket recently for $200. Or if you're in New York or anywhere along the East Coast and Midwest, and Montreal's a very city and a very easy city to get to, and it's also very beautiful, too. Do you mind if I call you Joyce instead of Dr.?
No, that's fine.
Okay, great, Joyce. Well, we've got a few minutes left, Joyce, and I wanted to give everyone your website, which is www.celllevelhealing.com. And... I want to give you. I wanted to give you the rest of the time, a few minutes that we have left, to say whatever you like to wrap up your wonderful interview today.
Well, thank you, and I just underscore your comments about the conference in Montreal. This is their 41st year.
Mm-hmm.
They're one of the first conferences on the planet that was about these kinds of topics.
Wow!
And
amazing.
I've been going for well over a dozen years.
Mm-hmm.
I just love seeing everybody that comes.
Mm-hmm.
Good friends from all over.
Mm-hmm.
And there's, goodness gracious, 15 or 20 speakers. Helen Folsom and I will be doing a keynote, then we'll each be doing workshops.
Wonderful.
And there's just a whole list of wonderful speakers and topics. So I do encourage people. But there are things now all over. There'll be a big meeting in Halifax in September.
Okay.
And other things on the West Coast. And we'll be teaching West Coast, and that's all on that website,
levelhealing.com.
Okay. But what I encourage all of the listeners today to truly find a juicy place to be connected with Source,
mm-hmm. Okay.
and allow that to flow through their bodies,
okay.
and allow there to be no time. Allow the blessing of healing, of health, of clarity, of things you couldn't imagine to come to you.
Wow.
If we're always trying to invent it or
mm-hmm.
intend it or think about it, it blocks the gifts that are given by grace. And so I guess my last little note is please walk with allowing and
mm-hmm.
enjoy the grace and the gifts that are all around us, above,
mm-hmm.
below, out there, in here.
Wow. It's been such a... I'm so glad you could come on today, Joyce. I can feel your vibration, and there's a lot of... Actually, the studio lit up while you were talking. It's in this beautiful white angelic light. Yeah, it always happens when I have wonderful people on, and the angels come in, and they're all lighting... Everything's lighting up.
Oh.
I see the little wings flapping around.
Oh, my gosh. Well, thank you. It feels good here, too. I get shivers through my body when it's good. It's like, woo!
Good.
This is fun.
Great, Joyce. Well, I hope you have a wonderful, happy day. And again, thank you so much for coming on my program today. I know everyone's really enjoyed what you had to say.
Well, I appreciate you and the gifts you have and the guests that you have and out there with these conversations. And so... thank you.
Thank you, Joyce.
Already.
You have a wonderful day.
You too.
Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
We're going now to beautiful British Columbia to my good friend, Garnet Schildhauser. He's a famous medium. He's written some wonderful books, including The Dance of Heavenly Bliss. I wrote the foreword to that book earlier this year. But Garnet, I want to welcome you to the program.
Well, hi, Ted. Thanks for having me again.
My pleasure. I'm sorry we ran a few minutes late. I had a gentleman who was from the inner earth, Zora, and he was giving us some fast... what he had to say, Garnet, was so interesting that I decided to skip my announcements for this second hour, and then we ran a few minutes late. But thank you so much for coming on today, Garnet. I always enjoy talking to you.
I enjoy being on your show, Ted. You're a wonderful host.
Well, thank you. You know, for my listeners who don't know Garnet... You've had an interesting career, weren't you? You had you were a corporate lawyer in Calgary, Alberta, for many years, and then you were on your lunch break some years ago, and what looked to be like a homeless man with sparkling blue eyes catches your eye, and then your life started to change after that.
That's exactly right. I met this homeless man. He basically jumped out in front of me, stopped me in my tracks, mm-hmm. and as you said, he had these amazing sparkling blue eyes, and the long and the short of it, of the story is that I ended up engaging this guy in a dialogue over several months. Hmm. He turned out to be one of my spirit guides in disguise, and his name was Albert.
Oh,
we
done.
And we had a series of dialogue question and answer sessions, mm-hmm. Which resulted in my first book, Dancing on a Stamp.
Mm-hmm.
Then he came back into my life again, this time he was an astral form, just showed up in my bedroom one night.
Mm-hmm.
He looked like sort of like a ghost-like ethereal figure,
mm-hmm.
Which I saw standing sort of in the doorway of my bedroom. I didn't know what it was.
Mm-hmm.
As he moved closer, Ted, mm-hmm. I could see it was Albert, but he was an astral form.
Mm-hmm.
And this time, instead of us just having a dialogue, he took me on a series of astral trips, out-of-body trips. We went to the spirit side. We went to other places in the universe, other places on our beautiful planet. And he told me that he wanted me to write about what I saw and heard in my second book, which I did, which was Dancing Forever with Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Then he came back again after I'd finished that manuscript, came back again into my life, again in astral form, showed up unannounced in my bedroom,
mm-hmm.
and said, come on, new set of trips. So we had some another set of exciting adventures, which he wanted me to write about in my third book, which I did, and that's Dance of Heavenly Bliss, which is has just been released in March.
Wow, that's amazing. That's amazing. Now, I have to ask you this, and this is a question of only on Out of This World Radio I can ask this question to you, Gardner. But you met many interesting spirits in your books, and one of the passages I do remember is where you sat down, and this is an incredible story, and I'd love for you to talk about it if you can. You saw both Jesus and Adolf Hitler on the same bench, and you talked to both of them. Would you care to share what happened during that conversation?
Yeah, that was an amazing experience because this was one of my trips to the spirit side with Albert.
Right.
And he told me that he just sort of announced out of the blue that he was going to take me to meet a couple of very interesting souls who had, famous lives on Earth.
Uh-huh.
Actually, probably one of them was infamous. But
right.
And he said one of these souls was a paragon of virtue and the other one was an evil monster.
Right.
And I couldn't for the life of me try to guess what he was talking about.
Right.
Anyway, so we walked towards this. We saw two characters sitting on a bench there in the middle.
Right.
As I got closer, I did a double take because one of them looked like Jesus Christ in a white robe.
Right.
And the other one was Adolf Hitler in his military uniform.
Wow.
And the two of them were sitting there chatting very amicably, having a great conversation.
Oh, my
and I
goodness.
Thought, what are these two polar opposites doing sitting side by side on the bench?
Oh, no.
You know, because they certainly seem to be polar opposites. So anyway,
sure.
So I had a conversation with him, and it turns out began with Adolf Hitler, who, as soon as I introduced myself, he morphed back into his normal shape and appearance on the spirit side, which was a young man named Matthew.
Hmm.
And he told me that he showed up initially so I would recognize him as Adolf Hitler, but,
mm-hmm.
but he preferred his natural form. So he was a handsome young man named Matthew.
Mm-hmm.
He said he had lived his last life on Earth as Adolf Hitler. He knew he had that in that life he had done many, many horrible, awful things to other people. The history books are full of the stories about what he did in his death camp.
Right.
He said he was very, very sorry about what he did.
Uh-huh.
He wished that he hadn't done it. He wished he could do it over again. But he said that all the violence that happened through him wasn't a pre-planned event. It was because he just lost control of his negative emotions, his greed, his need for power,
mm-hmm.
Anger, hate, and so on. It ran away on him, and he couldn't. He just found out that he couldn't seem to control it, and so that's how all the violence was caused. But he says that after his life review, when he crossed back over,
right.
he learned a lot from it. He's still very sorry for what he did, but he said the interesting thing was he said that he has met with many of the victims of his death camp, many of the people who he killed,
right.
and that there's been total reconciliation.
Wow.
Because he says on the spirit side, you don't bring any of that carryover of violence or negative emotions
right.
from the earth plane.
Right.
When you're on the spirit side, there's nothing but unconditional love. So his victims totally forgave him for what he had done, and they gave him nothing but unconditional love. So that's what happens on the spirit side. And that's why Albert brought me to meet Adolf Hitler. He wanted to show me that even the most evil monster in our history, once back on the spirit side, is a loving soul, and that all the other souls love that soul unconditionally, no matter what they did on Earth. So it was a real eye opener. And so then, the whole time I'm talking to the guy who used to be Adolf Hitler, Jesus is sitting there nodding his head and smiling, and he basically said, "Yes, I agree with everything he said." He said he and Matthew, who used to be Adolf Hitler, get together frequently to discuss their lives on Earth. And, of course, they were very, very opposite characters. And so then Jesus said, well, yeah, he incarnated a couple thousand years ago at the request of the Council of Wise Ones to give a humankind sort of a bit of a boost to encourage them to move up the spiritual ladder to become more spiritually enlightened.
Wow.
And because he was a master soul, still is actually, he was able to perform the miracles that are attributed to him in the Bible, like walking on water, turning water into wine, and raising people from the dead.
Wow.
And he did it because he had learned how to focus his thoughts into very powerful beams of energy. He tapped into the energy of the universe. That's how he did it.
That's amazing.
He had hoped to try to encourage people to live better lives, to be more loving and forgiving towards one another. That's why he incarnated. He assumed they would probably start a religion based upon his life and death, but he didn't know sort of how it would all play out.
Sure.
And he basically admitted to me, he said, the Christian church has done a lot of good things since his time, but they've been misguided in a number of ways. Some of the religious leaders have sort of gone off track to follow their own agenda, so he's not entirely pleased with how it developed, but he did say it was good that there has been a lot of good done, and so he was pleased with that. And so that was sort of an amazing conversation, having sort of the two polar opposites, the paragon of virtue, the epitome of evil, sitting side by side. And that just brings home to everyone the fact that that is what life is like on the spirit side.
That is just incredible. I read that passage in your book, and I was just astounded. I'm just so pleased that you're here today on my show, and also, Garnet, that you're coming to my Galactic Wisdom Conference next month in Olympia, Washington. You'll be one of the speakers there, of course, and that'll be on June 10, 11, and 12. For more information, please see the website at galacticwisdomconference.com. There is something else very important in your books, too, that you've written about. There's many things you've written about, Garnet, but the other thing that struck me about your book is that you've actually spoken to Gaia, haven't you, the planet?
Yeah, that was a very interesting trip, Ted, because before this encounter, I always assumed, like a lot of people, that our planet was just an inert conglomeration of molecules, that forms rocks and mountains and rivers and oceans and so on. But I found out, actually much to my delight, that our planet has a consciousness. Mm. And this was on a trip that Albert took me beneath the North Pole into a cavern. There I got to speak with Gaia, the consciousness of Mother Earth.
Oh, my goodness.
And it was a very interesting conversation.
Uh-huh.
She is a very wise and compassionate soul who wants to make sure that everything and everybody on her planet, within her sphere of influence, lives in the peace and harmony. And she is fiercely protective of her flora and fauna,
wow,
including humans. Mm-hmm. But she expressed a lot of dismay, Ted, at what humans have been doing in the last couple of hundred years anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Since the Industrial Revolution, we've been very invasive in terms of sort of taking over the whole planet, shuffling aside the other animals, abusing the other animals,
right,
polluting Mother Earth, spilling chemicals into her rivers and oceans and noxious fumes into her air and so on. And she was very disturbed at this because she wants her planet, she wants to be a very, happy place for everyone,
right,
not just humans, but for all the other animals, for the plants and for, the well-being of the whole ecosphere. That's what she wants.
Mm-hmm.
And humans are really interfering with that.
Wow.
She was unhappy. She doesn't feel vindictive towards us, but she really basically said, please take a message to your fellow humans. If they don't change their ways, it's going to end badly for them. And she doesn't want that to happen, but she wants humans to sort of really get the message to stop the pollution, stop abusing the other animals, and give, and let everybody on the planet assume their rightful place in the universe and their right to live on this very beautiful planet that we have. So it was a very interesting conversation.
That's an incredible message, and I'm so glad you mentioned that, because I've been told by other mediums and psychics that this year, 2016, and next year, Garnet, are pivotal years in the future of humanity, that the things that we do now will determine the life path of humanity and the planet for the coming years. And I think if people, I think the basic human nature of people on this planet is to be loving and kind and benevolent, and it's not to be warring and fighting and hate all the time. And I think most people, if given a choice, they don't want war, they don't want suffering. They want everyone to be happy, not only their families, but themselves and as a planet as a whole. That's why I'm the eternal. I guess you could call me the eternal optimist.
No, Ted. I mean, and that is the message that Gaia really wanted everyone to hear.
Okay.
And it's, you know, I'm doing it through my books. You're doing it through your radio show.
Right.
But that's really the message that we all have to get out. The ones who are getting the message, getting out to everyone else, so that we can encourage them to change their ways. And it can be done. I mean, we've come a long way in the last, say, 50 years in terms of pollution control.
Right.
We still have a long ways to go, though, and we really need to focus on it. And we really need to focus on treating other animals with dignity and respect and allowing them to have their own place to live on this planet. They're not there, put there just for our own pleasure. They're
right.
They have their own rightful place, and we should respect that.
Well,
so that was Gaia's message, clearly, and it's one that I'm very happy to get out in whatever way I can. And I know that you are, of like mind, Ted, because I know that you—that's exactly how you think.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely, Garnet. I think this. Everyone here has a soul mission, a purpose in life, and sometimes people will ask me. They'll say something like, "Well, I'm only one person. What can I do to make things better?" Well, you know, Mahatma Gandhi was only one person. He did a lot of good things. President Kennedy, John F. Kennedy, before he was murdered back in November 22nd, 1963, he did a lot of good things for the country and the world. There are examples after examples of people just acting. They were just one person making this planet a better place. So I just had, during the last hour, I had a gentleman from the inner earth named Zora. And he said that we were all gods and goddesses, and we can create with the Supreme Being to make this planet a much better place. All we have to do is make the right choices.
That's exactly right. That's the key. It's making the right choices. We have to choose love over fear, and that's really the basic choice we have. And if we fully embrace love and compassion, Ted,
right,
there is no room for negative emotions. And the negative emotions are what is causing a lot of the problems we have in our planet. You know, the wars and the violence and the genocide and the murders and terrorist acts and all the pollution, that all stems from negative emotions that aren't under control. And
that's...
if we can all just sort of focus every day on embracing love for ourselves, for our family, for our neighbors, for everyone in the world,
mm-hmm,
including all the animals, if we can all do that every day, our world will be a much happier place to live in.
Well, that's the theme of my conference, and I think you're one of the most important mediums and psychics in the world today, Garnet, because you have that message. You not only just give messages from the other side, but there's a reason and purpose why you do it. I mean, you could probably still be practicing law up in Calgary now, but you were contacted by your spirit guide to give messages to humanity. And on behalf of everyone listening today, I just want to thank you so much for doing that, because I think you've made a real difference in the lives of people on this planet.
Well, thank you for saying that, Ted. You're very kind.
Yeah.
And yes, you're right. Albert showed up in my life. He wanted me to change course. He wanted me to take a different path,
right,
away from the practicing law.
Right.
And about a year after I met him, actually, I just thought law was irrelevant to me, and so I retired.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been pursuing the other path that he's led me on,
mm-hmm,
with vigor. I really enjoy doing it. I,
mm-hmm,
enjoy writing my books. I enjoy being on radio shows and talking about his message. And I really think it's my new goal in life is to get his message out, get the message from spirit out to as many people as I can. And it was really a transformational experience that I had, and I'm very happy that I ran into him. Of course, he had this all up his sleeve. He had designed this all beforehand, which I didn't know. But anyway, he picked perfect timing, and away we've gone.
Wow, that's beautiful. That is so beautiful. One of the people, of course, I support on the program is the work of the Emoto Peace Project and Dr. Emoto's office in Tokyo, Japan. And because years ago, Dr. Emoto, before he passed away in 2014, theorized, and he also wrote books about this too, that everything he said is hado, H-A-D-O. Now, hado is a Japanese word for vibration, and he thought that everything was vibration. And if you have higher vibration, you're going to feel better, live longer, and be happier. And he has these medical machines that I'm having two people from the Emoto office fly from Tokyo to Olympia, Washington via Seattle to bring and demonstrate and also give treatments with at the Galactic Wisdom Conference. on June 10, 11, and 12 in Olympia, Washington. And they're based on this Hato principle. And the principle is that when people are diseased or they have a physical or a spiritual problem, is that their vibrations are lower or it's out of whack for their particular body. And so what they do is that you put your hand on this electronic pad, the machine reads it, and then it'll program water as to the correct vibration to help you with any spiritual or physical condition. And the amazing thing about this machine is that it goes back into past lives as well as your current physical condition. I had a couple of treatments when I was in Tokyo last year, and the gentleman who gave me the treatment doesn't speak any English, yet he was telling me about all these things that only I would know because he had no way of knowing it. The other thing, too, is that if the operator of the machine is in a bad mood or negative or doesn't think it'll work, the machine will not work. You have to have somebody operating the machine who's positively minded and who sincerely wants to help people. Then the machine will work. But it's an amazing machine, and while you're there, you'll be hearing the speakers coming from Tokyo explaining how the machine works and everything. It's the kind of device. It looks very humble. It's about the size of a small electronic typewriter, but its technology is way beyond this dimension. And my own feeling is that it's hundreds, maybe a thousand, several thousand years ahead of our current technology.
Sounds fascinating, Ted. I'd love to be able to see it when I get to the conference.
Yeah, yeah. They'll be there. They'll be giving a speech on Saturday, and then we'll be demonstrating the machines on Sunday. Now, if you are a health practitioner and you're interested in buying one of the machines, they are for sale. The machines cost $6,000, and you may think, well, that's a lot of money. But if you go to a hospital and you talk about some of the machines that they have, x-ray machines, all these diagnostic machines, they're very, very expensive, sometimes $500,000. And so $6,000, if you are a medical practitioner, really is not that much, especially for a machine that's been tested for decades and has been extremely effective in the past. Dr. Emoto treated approximately 10,000 patients successfully with this machine before he passed away in 2014. So it's got a good track record. And we've got enough slots to do treatments for 10 people on Sunday. If you are interested, please send me an email. We've got 5 or 6 people already signed up, and I have a feeling by next week those other 5 slots will be gone. So if you are interested, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com, or feel free to give me a call here in the United States at area code 509-750-9793, or my toll-free number, good in the United States and Canada, at 1-888-879-8339. If you miss the conference or can't get in to get a treatment, you can always fly to Tokyo, but it's a long trip and the flights are expensive. Garnet, we've got about 2.5 minutes or about 2 minutes left, and I want to give you the rest of the time to please wrap up, say anything you'd like to wrap up your wonderful interview today.
Well, I just want to tell people where they can access more information about my books, Ted.
Okay,
and
please.
The best source is my website, which is garnetschulhauser.com.
Okay.
That's hard to remember, but if you Google Dancing on a Stamp or Dance of Heavenly Bliss, you will get to my website.
Okay.
And there people can, you can download an excerpt from each book for free. You can watch a book video for each of my books. And you can dial into a page where I have all the radio show recordings I've ever done. And I've done, this is number 96 show, I think, in the last 3 years.
My goodness.
And all the recordings are there on my website, so you can listen to them all if you want, or pick and choose what you want.
Wonderful.
You can also dial into my social media sites like Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, Google+, you know, for more information about what's going on in my life. And so that's really a good source of information. And my email address is there as well, Ted.
Okay.
So if any of your listeners want to contact me with a question or a comment, I'd be happy to hear from them.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, when you're down in Olympia, I'd love to take you out to dinner, and I'm sure we'll have a lot to talk about.
So. I'm looking forward to it, Ted. Looking forward to meeting you in person.
Wonderful, wonderful, Garnet. Well, with that, I want to thank you so much for coming on today, Garnet. And also I wanted to tell everyone that 1 week from today, I'll be having on Dr. Raymond Moody, who's one of the world's most famous near-death researchers. He's been doing this for many decades. And I would like to finish today's interview with this song from John Lennon. And again, thank you so much, Garnet, for coming on today.